Fasten your seatbelt and turn up the radio. We're going on a road trip. I'm Glenn Moberg, and today on Route 51, the talk turns to baseball. With the Milwaukee Brewers and four other Midwest teams involved in pennant races, with the Wisconsin Woodchucks continuing to draw record crowds, today we celebrate America's game. You'll be hearing from Bob Uecker, Harry Carey, and a host of other baseball broadcasters with a perspective of observers as varied as George Will, George Carlin, and Yogi Berra. Our guest today, Matt Blanchett, sports reporter for the Wausau Daily Herald, and Dale Ryman, sports reporter for WSAW-TV News Channel 7. But most of all, we want to hear from you. What does baseball mean to you? Do you have a favorite memory? Did it bring you closer to your dad? Or is it irrelevant in today's fast-paced, rough-and-tumble world? Call us at 261-6371, 1-800-780-9742. Dale Ryman, a disappointing four games for the Milwaukee Brewers in what could have been really a key to them winning their division.
It was certainly a rough week. If you're a Brewers fan, it's going to be pretty tough to recover from that, have the Cubs come into your house and sweep you.
Think about Sunday. They were tied on Sunday for the division lead. The Brewers blow the game against the Astros, while at the same time as they were blowing their lead to the Astros, the Cubs were coming back against the Marlins. They go into their series with a one-game lead, and I still think the Brewers will make the playoffs, but I think a division title now will be hard to recover.
If you want to comment on the four consecutive losses that the Brewers had to the Chicago Cubs, give us a call, 261-6371, 261-6371, or 1-800-780-9742, that's 780-9742. Or if you've got anything else you want to say about baseball, we're going to be looking at the overall philosophy behind the game, what it means to America, whether it's being overshadowed now by football, how America is changing in the sense that baseball is no longer the dominant game that it once was. But first, hopefully we've got a guest on the line. Mike Jacques, are you there?
I am here.
Mike Jacques is the sports director, affectionately known as Jocko at News Channel 7. And I imagine
the Jackster.
You on the expressway right now?
Actually, we're standing. I wanted to wait to be on the show, and I wanted to be here at Miller Park. I'm standing right outside of the center field gates of Miller Park, where Cub fans are still happily milling around here in the parking lot, and Brewers fans are telling them to leave, not affectionately. So kind of a different atmosphere at Miller Park after the Cubs sweep the Brewers in their own home.
Games like this can get kind of nasty at times. I Googled Brewers-Cubs. First thing that came out was an AP story of three Chicago-area men accused of beating up a suburban Milwaukee man who reportedly threw beer at their bus, and this guy is hospitalized now, and the three Cub fans are in jail. Did you see anything like that today?
No, it was pretty happy-go-lucky today. A lot of Cubs fans just smiling ear to ear, and from what I noticed walking in, and even during the game, of course, as the lead grew larger, the Cubs fans got louder, but I wouldn't doubt it if Cub fans outnumbered Brewer fans here today in Milwaukee, which is pretty sad. And I know Corey Hart in the locker room talked a little bit about it, that he was kind of disappointed that that many fans from Milwaukee gave up their seats to Chicago fans. Maybe they got some good money, but Corey Hart saying that he hopes next time Chicago comes to town that more Brewers fans are representing the team.
Well, Wrigley Field is typically sold out, and it's only, 83 miles south of Miller Park.
Yep.
And if you try to get tickets for a game, particularly a championship game or a game that really means something, you can't get it from the ballpark. You've got to go online, and the cost is really high if you're from Chicago.
Well, I think maybe that they have a hard time. Maybe some Cub fans maybe have a hard time getting those seats for Wrigley Field. That maybe even with the drive and things like that, and the price of gas, that it's still okay to come up here, maybe play a little bit of scalper's money and get some seats for a four-game series. And I guess it was worth the price of admission because they saw their team win four straight games.
Well, if you put into account, too, the fact that the Brewers lost the first two games, Brewers fans have nothing else to look forward to because they had Manny Parra going and Dave Bush. They're like, oh, okay, let's pack this in. Let's look forward to the last five or six games of the season.
That's a good point, Dale. I think a lot of people probably were more willing to give up their seats for this afternoon affair, just knowing that the Brewers had already lost three games and maybe just thought, hey, take one more in the chin and head off to Atlanta.
But if they were able to win just one, it would have made a world of difference.
Yep, and today was certainly the day you would think that, that the Cubs might have eased off the gas pedal a little bit, but there was none of that going on.
Doesn't it make it look now like the Cubs got the better of the two, having Rich Harden go today and look tremendous in his seven innings versus CeCe, who struggled on Monday?
I don't know if it's the better of the trade. I guess that's still yet to be seen by the end of the season. But tell you what, seeing the Cubs today and hearing guys, media guys that cover both teams every day, and they were just saying that, the Chicago Cubs are just the better of the two teams. Maybe the Brewers get into playoffs with the wild card, and I'm not giving up hope yet on the Central Division crown, but,
I've given up hope. I mean, think about it. The Cubs, they don't win on the road. They're not supposed to. The last year and a half, the Brewers have played well at home, and the opposite happened these four games. I think you can count the division. I'll say, hey, they still have a chance, but you know, the wild card is going to be where it's at.
I was trying to be nice, Dale.
I know.
Well, Jocko, what do you think the Brewers have to do? Is there any way they can turn it around between now and then? They made some changes. They put some money into the team. They acted like they wanted to win. What happened?
Well, Glenn, just four games ago, we were saying how great this year, maybe before the Houston series. So 7 games ago, I mean, this team couldn't be stopped. They won 8 straight games, 7 of them on the road, which they never, ever went on the road, and everybody was kind of singing their praises. But I think just you go in valleys in a long baseball season. They're just hitting one of the valleys right now, and hopefully they continue to peak at the right time. It's still July 31st. They have, August and all of September left. So I think if their hitting comes around and with the acquisition of CeCe Sabathia, that they're still in pretty good shape. I don't think it's time to hit the panic button just yet.
The Brewers shook up their lineup today, too. Didn't was it Ray Durham, Council, J.J. Hardy, Fielder, and then Braun hitting fifth?
Yeah, and Kapler got the start today, and he actually performed well.
What did Yost say about the lineup shakeup?
He just said it was time for a little bit of a change. He thought that this was a perfect time to, get some guys settled down and get things going again.
Is there more?
I think right now they're pressing.
Sorry, Jocko. Is there more significance to the fact that it was the Cubs, the team that you are chasing in the division, and it is your rival? There's national media that were there this week blowing this thing up to be a big deal in the Central. And how do you recover from that?
I think, Matt, what the guys were saying in the locker room was that, it's the Cubs. We just hate to get our butts kicked by a team like this, and it's going to hurt. But maybe it'll put a chip on their shoulder later in the season when they play them once again toward the end of September. So I think to every guy that we talked in the locker room, and I apologize for saying this on National Public Radio, but they said we got our butts kicked all four games.
It's all
going to remember that. And hopefully,
I think you can say that on Wisconsin Public Radio.
and think about how much attention now. If the Brewers can keep it close, the last three games of the season, Brewers Cubs.
Yep. Maybe it's a good thing they got beat four straight games somewhere down the road when they play them again in September.
Do you think they're using Ray Durham the way that they should be after the acquisition?
No.
I don't know.
No. He should be starting, pretty much.
I agree.
Yeah, I mean, when they picked up Ray Durham, I thought, wow, there goes Ricky Weeks' job. But, man, did he catch fire. I mean, the first whole week that Durham was on the team, Ricky Weeks was on fire. Are they using Durham the way they could? Probably not, because he has his batting average is 80 points higher. His on-base percentage is 70 points higher. He scores just as many runs. The only department he loses out to Ricky Weeks is in his home runs, but Ray Durham isn't asked to hit home runs.
If by catch fire do you mean make errors and strike out a lot, then yes, Ricky Weeks did catch fire.
Well, for those first four games after they acquired Ray Durham, though, Ricky Weeks played well, especially the day they did get him from the Giants.
Other than the fact that Ricky Weeks is the incumbent, I don't think there's much of a discussion as to who's the better ball player right now during this season.
And I think that maybe Ned Yost would like to have Ricky Weeks in that first Cubs game, or Ray Durham in there. Remember the Ricky Weeks throwing error? CC Sabathia induces the tailor-made double play to get out of the inning. Ricky throws it away. Boom, there goes the lead, and there goes the ball game, and it's downhill from there.
I have to agree with both you guys that Ray Durham should be starting. I don't think Ricky Weeks, I think Ned tends to hang on to his young guys a little too long and doesn't want to dampen their spirits, but I think Ricky said.
Yeah, this four-game sweep didn't damp them at all either.
That's right.
Well, Jocko, we've got, of course, the Brewers and the Cubs in the National League Central. We've also got a Midwest pennant race between the Chicago White Sox and the Minnesota Twins. Who do you like?
After what Chicago did today, mm-hmm. and I have to make sure that this is true because I've been at the game all day, but they did acquire Ken Griffey Jr.
Yeah, it's on the wires.
It's official?
Yeah, he approved it.
Oh, wow. So I still think that they're a better team. While Minnesota is young and they still have some great players, the M&M boys, but I think you got to tip your hats to...
Here's something funny to think about, too. Do you remember a couple of years ago when supposedly Jim Edmonds called ESPN and said, stop showing so many Ken Griffey Jr. highlights. I'm making great plays, too. And now they end up in the same city together. You think Jimmy's going to call some of the Chicago stations saying, hey, you know, don't forget about me. I had two home runs today against the Brewers.
Yeah, I'd rather see Jr. Don't tell Jim Edmonds.
Hey, Jocko, we're going to let you go. I know you've got a long ride back to Wausau. You've got to put the highlights together or the lowlights.
That's right. Be sure to watch my story at News Channel 7 at 10 tonight. I'm counting on you, Glenn.
I will do that. You can count on it.
Thanks, guys.
Mike Schock joining us from Miller Park, where the Cubs had a disappointing day, to say the least. They have lost four in a row now.
Five in a row.
I meant to say the Brewers had a disappointing day, to say the least, against the Chicago Cubs. Cubs sweeping them four games, and the Brewers now five games out of first. We're going to be talking more about baseball, more about the bucolic nature of the game and what distinguishes it from other sports. And we would like you to call us and add your 2 cents worth. If you're a frustrated Brewers fan, we want to hear from you, too. The phone numbers are 261-6371, 261-6371, or 1-800-780-9742. That's 780-9742. I'm Glenn Moberg. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio on the Ideas Network.
Support for Wisconsin Public Radio comes from UMR, formerly Fiserv Health, providing employee benefits administration, integrated health management, and pharmacy benefits administration for self-funded employers throughout the U.S. More about UMR at umr.com.
I'm Glenn Moberg. We have Matt Blanchett, sports reporter for the Wausau Daily Herald, and Dale Ryman, sports reporter for WSAW-TV, News Channel 7. We're talking baseball today. We want to hear from you at 261-6371. 261-6371 or 1-800-780-9742. Guys, one of the really iconic things in baseball broadcasting is the home run call. Mm-hmm. I've got a clip here of various announcers in various times and places doing their home run calls. Let's see how many you can pick out. We're going to start with an old classic, a home run by Babe Ruth. As Casey Stengel watches it fly over his head.
It's a slow curve low, and the Babe swings. It's a long one going out toward right center. Singler was backing up against the wall. He can't get it. It's in there. Another home run for the Bambino.
Swinging. There's a drive into left center field. That ball is going to be out of here. It's gone. It's 7-15. There's a new home run champion of all time, and it's Henry Aaron.
Might be out of here.
Hey, hey,
hey, hey. He did hey. It again. He did it again.
Oh.
The game is tied. The game is tied. Holy cow.
Young at the wall, except you can't put it on the board.
Yes.
That's pretty well hit. Get ready for number 300. Back, back, back. Hey, hey.
Here it goes. It's out of here. Oh. That ball is high. It is far. It is gone. See ya.
Whoa, that's fine. Holy cow. Look at this one.
Get up and get out of here. Gone.
Right field, gone. Holy smoke.
Deep to right field. Get out the right, Brett Grandma. It is grand salami time.
The good, the bad, and the ugly. Various announcers doing home run calls. That last one, incidentally, was Dave Niehaus, the immortal get out the rye bread and mustard grandma. It's grand salami.
He just got inducted into the Hall of Fame, I think, this past weekend, posthumously, didn't he?
Not for that call.
Well, no, but in the broadcaster's wing, I'm pretty sure he just went in.
So what do you think? Who do you like out of all of those?
I think you can put it on the board. That's always been a favorite of mine. You're a Chicago White Sox fan.
I am a Sox fan.
Hawk Harrelson wears that one out, though. I mean, he really. I mean, for the bad guys, he goes, and you can put it on the board.
If you're a Sox fan, a White Sox fan, you love that. But I was looking at reaction to the different calls. That is the most hated call out of just about all of the baseball fans.
I don't know. I like it. I'm not a White Sox fan.
It depends on the game, I think. You know, the atmosphere of the game, if it sets the stage, especially during their World Series run 3 years ago, I mean, you couldn't get enough of that call. I used to work down near the Chicago area, and that, you know, was the anthem, it seemed like.
And then that put it on the board, yes, that mocking, taunting,
and Darren Jackson,
yes.
Darren Jackson's there with him, and he comes in there with the yes right at the end. Yeah, it... Again, it can get annoying because he really overdoes it, but I guess it depends on the atmosphere of the game and sets the tone.
I think Michael Kay's "See Ya" is the most annoying one in baseball, personally.
Yeah, and that wouldn't be because you're a Red Sox fan?
Well, partly, but I also think it's really just really annoying in any situation.
And he has that raspy voice, too. I don't know. I think he just – how's it go? Yes!
No, it's just – and that one's out of here. See ya.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, you can't beat Bob Uecker, though, for enthusiasm.
Get up, get up, get out of here. Gone. Yeah.
I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to play a little of Bob Uecker right now. We've got a couple of minutes, and this is Bob Uecker back in the 1980s in an appearance on Johnny Carson's Tonight Show. His usual self-deprecating humor, Bob Uecker and Johnny Carson.
But all of a sudden, it's become very popular. It hit 185 and 200. People laughed at me when I did it. Now, all of a sudden, you got guys hitting 185, 200, making $400,000 and $500,000 a year and signing 4 and 5 year contracts. I mean, the Cardinals, I think this is the actual batting average, hit 185 in the series. I mean, I could have been a star on that club.
That's right. That's really a terrible batting average.
It is. It was bad, and I was an honest player. If an umpire, and I've talked about this, and I think it bears repeating, if an umpire, if I thought he missed a call, if he called a runner out,
right,
and I missed a tag, I would dispute it. I would tell the umpire that he was safe. Even though it cost us a run or cost us a game, I would do that.
Yeah.
And, I mean, our manager would be out there screaming and hollering, and I'd be with the other manager saying, hey, I missed him, you know. And then, I don't think you can do enough like that, Jim.
No.
Sportsmanship is, I've always been that way.
What is...
What is the rule? I'm not sure of the rule myself. What can a player say to an umpire or not say? You cannot touch him. Is that it? I'm not quite sure what...
There are some you wouldn't want to touch either.
Yeah.
When I used to run, when you're running, and we've talked about it, you run, you throw the hand up, knock the cap off, so it looks like you're really moving. Then you get the safeguard.
I see.
Where you, here, you're doing like this, bang, and you the top, knock it off.
The hat goes.
And the guy says, how could the guy be out? Look at the way the guy runs.
That's right. You little leaguers, your kids remember these tips. We'll be right back.
Johnny Carson and Bob Uecker back in the 1980s. He's really an original.
You can tell that clip is dated because he's talking about $500,000 salaries, which
right.
is slightly above the league minimum right now. So if you're making that much, you're either a rookie or you're doing something wrong.
I was at a banquet one time with Bob Costas. You know, Costas and Uecker used to do the game of the week, baseball game of the week. And he was telling the story coming from Uecker, saying that when I can't remember who he was he signed with coming out of high school or college, whatever. But the team was there and presented him and his dad and his mom with the contract and said, you know, it's a $5,000 signing bonus if you sign right now. And his dad looked and said, we can't afford that kind of money. So they thought that, you know.
Uecker was like,
I can't afford that money right now. So, yeah, Uecker's one of the type of guys you could sit in a room and just hear stories from him all day long.
And it's great to have him doing the Brewers games. You know, it is just wonderful to have him doing the play-by-play.
He gives away to Jim Powell too much, though, I think. I'd rather hear more Uecker than Jim Powell.
Well, I'd rather hear more victories from the Milwaukee Brewers.
Well, yeah.
I don't think you're alone in that respect.
261-6371, 261-6371, or 1-800-780-9742, 780-9742. Talking baseball, talking the Milwaukee Brewers, talking about the nature of the game with Matt Blanchett of the Wausau Daily Herald, Dale Ryman of News Channel 7. We want to hear from you. Do you have a favorite memory? What did it mean to you to have your dad go out and play catch with you? Do you think more people should be watching baseball games? 261-6371, 1-800-780-9742. We'll be back after this news.
If you want to know more about HD Radio, there's an article on HD that you'll find at WPR.org, as well as answers to frequently asked questions and related HD Radio links, all at WPR.org.
I'm Glenn Moberg. Today on Route 51, we are talking about baseball with our guests, Matt Blanchett of the Wausau Daily Herald, Dale Ryman of News Channel 7. We are talking about a disappointing series that the Milwaukee Brewers just wrapped up with the Chicago Cubs, dropping four straight, dropping them five games behind the lead in the National League Central Division. If you want to comment on that, you can at 261-6371 or 1-800-780-9742. But I'm more interested in hearing your opinions about baseball. Do you attend Major League games? Do you think Major League Baseball still has the kind of old romantic attachment to America's past that used to make attendance at those games almost mandatory for parents and their children? Are you more interested in football now? And if you do love baseball, what do you love about it? Give us a call at 261-6371 or 1-800-780-9742. That's 780-9742. Guys, what do you think about baseball? Have said, and I can't remember who it was, but the line that sticks with me is, baseball is what America used to be. Football is what America is today.
I think to a certain extent that has some truth to it, but if you look at ticket receipts from Major League Baseball, I mean, they're breaking records every single year, and of course the ballparks are bigger now, but it's still a huge draw, and it's still America's pastime, and they're doing just fine. Television ratings are better than ever. Attendance is better than ever. So I think they're very healthy. It might not be number one anymore, but it's a close number two to football.
Yeah, I think NFL is definitely the cream of the crop right now. But if you look at baseball is where the tradition is. I don't think anyone could probably tell me right now how many rushing yards Walter Payton has, but you can tell me how many home runs Babe Ruth and Hank Aaron has. It's still a statistically driven sport, and for a lot of kids growing up, it's always fun to talk stats. And me and some friends in high school, we used to quiz each other every day at lunch period, trying to name the last 10 American League Rookies of the Year and stuff like that. NFL doesn't have that tradition yet, whereas baseball still does, I think.
Well, baseball really is a game of statistics and a game of mathematics. And I don't know how many young boys learned about adding, subtracting, dividing, and multiplying by comparing those baseball stats.
It's still the cheapest outing for a family. You know, a family of four can go to a baseball game. When you pay for parking tickets, obviously it's still going to be like, I saw recently around $120, but $120 just gets you two tickets to an NFL game.
Well, I'll tell you something. I went to, I was in Chicago a couple of weeks ago, and I was able to get tickets to the White Sox and Cubs, sold out game at what used to be Comiskey Park. And those tickets ran me close to $100 from a broker. And then
each
parking,
or for the both?
Oh no,
each.
Okay. And that was, you know, that was a bargain,
mm-hmm,
compared,
sure,
to how most of them.
And
were
you were
going.
Probably on the third deck, right?
I was on the upper deck, but mm-hmm, I was behind home plate. My son and I were behind home plate, upper deck, but as far up as you could go.
And those are, I think, $10 or $12 tickets.
$35.
Are they $35?
Prices,
okay,
have gone up. Beautiful view of the Chicago skyline behind us,
mm-hmm,
and actually we had a pretty good view of the. Of the ball game.
See the skyline better than the game.
Well, we were right behind home plate. But on top of that, it was $40 to park your car. You know? Baseball is getting to the point where it's out of reach of a lot of families.
But we're talking about the major league level, and the one thing that baseball has that, say, the NFL doesn't have is the minor leagues and even the Northwoods League here in Wausau, and that's where the tradition starts. It starts with a $5 ticket and some popcorn and going with your dad, and then you can go to Miller Park or to Wrigley Field. With the NFL, you have high school, and then you have the NFL in college, but you don't have those minor leagues, and I think that's where the tradition is born, and that's not going away anytime soon.
And the Woodchucks are great, aren't they? I mean, it's great to have that team and that kind of baseball action right here in our own backyard in central Wisconsin. You can pay $5, and there isn't a bad seat in the house. And you look at the people out on the field, and these guys are really playing for the fun of it.
Exactly, and that's just one example. There's many levels of minor league baseball, and most of them are still relatively inexpensive, and it's a good place to learn the fundamentals of the game and do it, you know, for $5.
If you'd like to join the conversation, we're talking baseball, 261-6371 or 1-800-780-9742. Let's go to the phones. Justin in Wisconsin Rapids here on Route 51. Hello, Justin.
Hi. How's it going? I was just going to kind of relate my story of I grew up in Kenosha, and I was actually a long-suffering Cub fan, so you know, sorry for all the Brewer fans out right now, but
you may still be suffering by the time the season's done, so don't get too excited yet.
It's probably a good possibility. 2003 is fresh in my memory.
Yeah, somewhere out there, Steve Bartman's cousin is going to games.
but
you can always wait another 100 years, right?
Yeah. Well, I attended my first game when I was three, and I went with my dad and my grandpa, who was passed away a few years back. But I always, you know, remember. We'd go to a game down there every year, and we'd invest so much time in the summertime listening to the games. And I think most importantly, with baseball, what it is to me anyhow, is it's a kind of a connection to those days.
And
you know, the grandfather was not here anymore, and he never got to see a World Series. And, you know, my dad's getting up there, too, and, you know, who knows if he'll ever see one. So it's kind of one of those just kind of connections like that.
They still live in Chicago?
No, actually, we moved up north here. They're over by Wild Rose, and I'm here in Wisconsin Rapids. But we, you know, we still connect with the team. And
how old are you, Justin?
I'm 31.
Okay, so when you went 28 years ago, tickets were still relatively easy to buy, and Wrigley, I don't think, was selling out like pancakes back then either. So it made it a lot easier to go and enjoy an atmosphere at Wrigley.
I'll tell you what I remember about Wrigley Field. I remember bleacher seats going on sale the day of the game, always the day of the game, and they were $5.
You can't get bleacher seats now.
$5 to get into the
bleachers. You can't get bleacher seats to any game now.
No, the cheapest you'll get, and this will be like against the Pirates or something like that, I think they're about 25, 28 bucks. I'm actually taking my son, who was three this year, so I'll be taking him to his first ball game down there. And we're in the upper deck,
That's a good place to start, though, these days, when you take your little one. That's a good place to start. You don't want to start in the bleachers right away. You want to kind of gradually build him into that, you know?
Right. But, yeah, I'm buying six tickets in there. It's going to be pushing close to $300.
One of my favorite memories of Wrigley Field is sitting in the bleachers, and none other than Bill Veeck shows up, sits down next to us, and plops his wooden leg on the seat in front of us. And the wooden leg had a hollowed out spot that he used for an ashtray. Mm-hmm. And he was flicking his cigarette butts, and the other fans were too. And there he was in shorts and no shirt, and guy must have been pushing 70 years old at the time, and he still loved the game as much as he always did.
Yeah, he's a great reason why baseball is what it is in Chicago. There's just so many stories about him. I think he had something to do with the White Sox, with the disco game, the disco records.
That was not one of his favorite. Disco Demolition Night was not his favorite moments.
They
forfeited a game because they blew up disco records in the outfield, and it turned into a riot. Mm-hmm.
But he did try to bring a lot of that minor league kind of fun and games to the major league level, and he brought good interest to the game.
I'll tell you my favorite story is when he put a midget up to bat because the pitcher couldn't hit the strike zone. So the guy walked. They substituted a runner for him, stole second and third, and scored on a sacrifice fly, and they won the ball game.
I've been to like five or six games at Wrigley. Two or three of them as a member of the medium. My favorite memory from going to Wrigley probably happened about 3 years ago when I was up in the press box. And of all places, I was in the restroom, and comes out of the bathroom stall, it's Ernie Banks. And I'm looking, and I see him, and I'm like, wow, that's Mr. Cub. And guess what? He goes, how you doing, sir? I'm like, pretty good. Having a good time? Yes. And he starts asking me, you married? You asked me about family, how's your wife? Everybody doing good? Good. I hope you enjoy the game. And I'm like, wow. First of all, you have a conversation with Ernie Banks, and he actually shows a little bit of interest, ask your opinion about today's game. I don't know. It's just one thing that will always stick with me.
Ernie Banks was one of a kind. We need more ball players like that.
And I will say, as a Cub fan, I love Euchre's call of the game. I love his home run call. I think they had a great stadium down there. I'm glad. I enjoyed many games down at County Park, or County Stadium, sorry. And I really enjoyed Miller. But
I did like Chip Carey's home run calls, too, though, when he was with the Cubs on WGN. Swung on, belted, deep, right center field, gone. Now he's doing it with TBS, so.
Right. And, another polarizing guy, Ron Santo, calling his games. You kind of either love him or hate him. He's such a fan of the game, calling the game.
Well, Justin, thanks so much for the phone call. And you going to a game soon?
Yeah, we'll be going to September 18th when Milwaukee comes to Chicago.
So oh my! And you got tickets?
Yep. It'll be my three-year-old's first game, and I hope that's the day we clinch the division.
2 weeks before the season ends? Come on, Justin.
Well, Justin, maybe I'll see you there because I have tickets for that game as well on the 18th. So,
Justin, thanks so much for the phone call. We're talking baseball on Route 51, 261-6371 or 1-800-780-9742 if you want to join the conversation.
Contributors to Wisconsin Public Radio include attorney Paul A. Sturgill, serving the legal needs of the elderly and their families throughout Wisconsin and Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Toll-free information is at 888-613-0600.
I'm Glenn Moberg with Matt Blanchett and Dale Ryman. We are talking baseball on Route 51 Regional Talk Radio. Our phone numbers again, 261-6371 or 1-800-780-9742. Here is the late, great philosopher George Carlin in one of the few clips that I can actually play on the radio talking about the difference between baseball and football.
Baseball is a 19th century pastoral game. Football is a 20th century technological struggle. Baseball is played on a diamond, in a park, the baseball park. Football is played on a gridiron in a stadium, sometimes called Soldier Field or War Memorial Stadium. Baseball begins in the spring, the season of new life. Football begins in the fall when everything is dying. In football, you wear a helmet. In baseball, you wear a cap. In football, the specialist comes in to kick. In baseball, the specialist comes in to relieve someone. In football, you receive a penalty. In baseball, you make an error. Whoops! Football has hitting, clipping, spearing, blocking, piling on, late hitting, unnecessary roughness, and personal fouls. Baseball has the sacrifice. Football is played in any kind of weather. Rain, sleet, snow, hail, mud. Can't read the numbers on the field, can't read the yard markers, can't read the players' numbers. The struggle will continue. In baseball, if it rains, we don't come out to play. I can't come out to play. It's raining out. Baseball has a seventh inning stretch. Football has the 2-minute warning. Baseball has no time limit. We don't know when it's going to end. We might have extra innings. Football is rigidly timed, and it will end even if we have to go to sudden death. In football, the object is for the quarterback, otherwise known as the field general, to be on target with his aerial assault, riddling the defense by hitting his receivers with deadly accuracy, in spite of the blitz, even if he has to use the shotgun. With short bullet passes and long bombs, he marches his troops into enemy territory, balancing this aerial assault with a sustained ground attack which punches holes in the forward wall of the enemy's defensive line. In baseball, the object is to go home and to be safe. I hope I'll be safe at home. Safe at home.
George Carlin on the difference between baseball and football.
Sounded like a pro football crowd to me.
Yes, it did. He attracted those kinds of audiences, though.
Make some good points.
261-6371, 1-800-780-9742. Let's go to Rusty in Stevens Point. Rusty, you're on Route 51.
Good afternoon, and thanks. I find it funny that I just had a discussion somewhat similar to this afternoon with an employee of mine. I really think that people need to get a new hobby and get a new life. I think these sports people or players are far too overpaid. I believe that they're a bunch of overpaid crybabies in many instances, and I don't see the coaches any better. When I see a coach out there acting like an immature 5-year-old throwing a tantrum and kicking dirt at an umpire, I think that's ridiculous. I think people need to get a new hobby, and maybe if people stop going to games and spending this crazy amount of money on tickets and parking and such as you're talking about, pricing eventually will come down and make it a worthwhile event for everyone.
Any of you want to handle that?
Well, we know no one's going to stop going to the games. Obviously, you remember the game as when you were a kid back in the 60s, 70s, 80s, whatever it may be, when the game was a little bit more lighthearted. The players were out signing autographs for longer periods of time, but the game has changed. And the fans have changed, and if you look at the kids coming up today, the kids have changed, and they're more adapted to the game today than the game 25 years ago.
I don't think anyone will argue with you that players are overpaid, but it's a free market economy, and they are just like any of us. They get what they can get. If someone's going to offer me a certain amount of money to do a job, I'm going to take the most amount of money that I can get to do that
job. You wouldn't turn it down, that's for sure. And if the owners are dumb enough out there to pay it, why wouldn't you take it? I mean, if you're doing the same job right now and someone offers you triple the salary to maybe drive an extra 25 miles to go to work, more than likely you're probably going to do it because it betters your lifestyle. It betters your family's lifestyle. And that's just the way
it
goes.
Well, the question is, are the players more overpaid than CEOs of major corporations who make $200 million bonuses, even though their company's stock tanks?
Sometimes the players have better years than those CEOs, too.
You don't hear about the CEOs as much, though.
Do you remember the story about Babe Ruth?
Yes, when he says he had a better year than the president.
And Herbert Hoover.
Yeah.
Because he made more money.
Yeah.
Well, I really don't know that it's any of it's real logical if you sit down and break it all down. One thing that I did find interesting, because I see guys getting upset, the way the Brewers got handled the last few games, and although I don't follow baseball very much anymore, I sit here and I know that with trading policies and the way things can go and this player gets picked up and dropped, you can sit here today and be upset about the Brewers getting beat and about the whole team, and yet within 5 years, and although it probably wouldn't happen, it's feasible that it could happen that a majority of those players on the Cubs could play over here for the Brewers.
Right.
You'd be cheering for a team that's half of a team that you got mad at today.
It just doesn't
make sense.
You got Jim Evans, who's a longtime Cardinal. He's now a Cub. If you want to put football in the equation, you may have Brett Favre playing with the Vikings.
Sure.
But that's what makes the sport so great. You're rooting more for the uniform almost because of the tradition, because your father rooted for the Cubs or the Brewers.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And that matters more than necessarily who the players are. And obviously you get attached to certain players. And in baseball you can see them. They don't have helmets on. You get to know who they are over a course of a long season. But more than anything, you're rooting for the uniform.
The names on the back change. The name on the front stays the same.
Rusty, thanks so much for the phone call.
Thanks for calling. Taking the call.
Thank you.
Back in the year 2000, National Public Radio's Neil Conan took a break from broadcast news to become a play-by-play announcer for the Aberdeen Arsenal of the Independent Athletic League. And he described some of the differences between those leagues and the affiliated minors. In the book Play-by-Play, he writes, "One is the sense of living on the brink. Players on every level are insecure, but in the independent leagues, there's a real fear that the next injury or slump will be the last. There is no lower rung to drop down to. The odds are no more than a couple of the two dozen kids staring nervously at their spikes on the opening day of rookie ball will ever hear their names announced at a big league park. For every kid who shows enough promise to be sent to rookie ball, somebody somewhere loses their job." It's a whole different world.
Once money is involved, it certainly is.
Independent league baseball, I mean, that is, you're at the bottom scratching to get back up to the top. I mean, that's just... There's so many different levels of baseball, whereas the other sports, you don't have that. You could be two leagues and you're out, or, you know, baseball, at least you have different opportunities to get out there and continue to play and pursue that dream.
I've got one more clip to play here. This is the late, great Harry Carey talking about a product that he advertised more than anyone else every time he's saying, "Take me out to the ball club, take me out to the ballpark." Cracker Jack. He's trying to do play-by-play of a Cubs game while he's dissing his favorite product.
"I know what the big deal about Cracker Jack is. Did you ever go and buy a pack of Cracker Jack thinking you'd get a prize and find no prize in the box? Here's the pitch. That might not sound important to some people, but when you're a little kid, especially from humble origin, and they cheat you out of a prize, there's a bouncing ball. Second baseman has the Barbary over the first. It's hard to think in laudatory terms of the product."
I take it there was an occasional box of Cracker Jacks and found no prizes for the little Harry Carey many years ago.
"You got that right. And boy, when a box of Cracker Jack to me meant a lot of money. Here's a pitch, bounce foul. That's the most asinine marketing I've ever heard of. One ball, one strike. These guys say, well, you sing about Cracker Jack. I said that I only sing it because it's in the song. Here's a pitch foul back. And I wouldn't be a bit surprised, even to this day, some youngsters who buy a box of Cracker Jack don't find a prize in the box. One ball, two strikes, two out. Well, if you're going to talk about our congressman being crooked, here's a pitch foul out of play. Why not talk about commercial products that don't do what they represent to do?
There you go.
Not quite sure there was a game going on there, was there?
Yeah,
maybe.
Yeah. But Harry Carey, the fan with the microphone.
And that's the pacing of baseball, though. You couldn't do something like that while you're announcing a football game, could you?
No, you could not.
We are out of time, guys. Matt Blanchett and Dale, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you, Glenn.
And for all of us who are Brewer fans, let's hope that they improve upon.
You can't get any worse.
You can't get any worse. Matt Blanchett, sports reporter for the Wausau Daily Herald. Dale Ryman of WSAW-TV News Channel 7. Also, thanks to Mike Jacques of News Channel 7, who joined us at the start of the show from in front of Miller Park. Today's musical selections from John Fogerty and the Skeletons, with special audio clips from Bob Uecker, Harry Carey, and George Carlin. Next week on Route 51, highlights of a forum that will take place next Wednesday evening, August 6th, at the UW-Madison Theater, UW-Marathon County Theater. I'm thinking of downstate here. That forum will bring together Catholic, Protestant, and Jewish spiritual leaders to discuss and debate the meaning of mission. Thanks to our executive producer, Rick Ryer, and our on-air producer, Jane Ritger. I'm Glenn Moberg of Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks for joining us today. Until next week, we're heading out of town. Whoa.